All right, thanks, Nate, for reading that. And for those of you who don't know, my name is Tony Brubaker, and I want to start with a question. So my question this morning is, why does Pastor Tim, where's Pastor Tim? In here, yeah, why does he always carry around, there he is, why does he always carry around a pencil? It's because he wants to draw people closer to Jesus. Okay, so it's Father's Day. I thought it wouldn't be appropriate without a Father's Day joke. You can thank ChatGPT for that one. I don't have a lot of Father's Day, Father's Dad jokes in my back pocket. But seriously, though, here at MJMC, we really do want to draw people closer to Jesus. And in light of it being Father's Day, though, I'm going to draw from stories of parenting. And in particular, I'm going to draw from stories of one of parenting's more monumental tasks, and that's the task of teaching your kids to drive. So, younger parents, time to take notes. But so when Peter was 15, I asked him what he wanted to drive when he was 16, and he said he thought it'd be really cool to drive the 1987 Jeep that Wrangler that I drove when I was in high school, and I still had the Jeep. The problem was that the Jeep had grown tired over the years. I mean, the body was still in good shape. It wasn't rusty, but the paint was faded, the engine needed work, and the transmission was pretty well shot. So we decided to get this back on the road. We needed a donor Jeep. So we looked around. We found a 1993 Jeep that was all rusted out. It was shot, but it had a good motor and transmission. And we started this engine swap. The challenge was that Peter and I, we knew how to use a wrench, but this was way out of our league in terms of mechanics. So we had to look for a source of training and knowledge for this. So we found YouTube. And it's amazing what you can find on YouTube. We watched YouTube tutorials, and we attacked this project. We did the motor, transmission, wiring harnesses, dash, the whole works. Well, the day came to try to start the Jeep. And on the second try, it fired up. Now, family, I can tell you that was a thank you, Jesus moment, if there ever was one. Because if it didn't start, I don't know what we would have done. But so Peter had wheels, you know, with a little bit of paint, slight lift, some bigger tires. It was ready to hit the road. But the 1987 Jeep wouldn't have been ready to hit the road without the new life that it was given from the 1993 Jeep. In fact, every living thing on earth draws its source of life from something else. So what is your source of life? What do you look to give you life? So the past month or so, we've been talking about sacred ties, the ties that connect us each together through relationship. We learned how God has designed these relationships and the roles that we play within them. These relationships were designed to be life-giving. But for them to be life-giving, we have to be connected to the true source of life, the vine. When we're connected, when we're tied to the vine, we are connected together to each other in love. So before I came up, Nate read from John some of Jesus' words to the disciples in John chapter 15. And the setting for these verses, this discussion, this teaching, was right after the Last Supper. Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. And at this point in time, it's likely that they've left the upper room and have started their walk towards the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus continued to teach them on the way. But what did Jesus mean when he told his disciples to remain in him? Well, today we're going to learn three things that happen to us when we are tied to the vine, and three ways of how we can remain tied to the vine, Jesus. I asked you this question before, and I'm going to ask it again. What is your source of life? What are you tied to give you life? Well, Jesus started his statement with, "I am the true vine." Now, it's possible that as Jesus and the disciples were walking along, they may have come across some vines, you know, and Jesus often used things in his surrounding to teach his lessons that he wanted to teach. So you can almost see Jesus, you know, pausing at the vine, maybe touching its leaves and saying, looking at his disciples and saying, I am the true vine. But what did he mean to them when he said he's the true vine? Well, to understand this, we need to step back to the time of the Israelites. The Israelites were often referred to as a people, were referred to as a vine in the Bible. In Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9, it says, you transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. Then in Jeremiah 2:21, it says, I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? God had planted Israel, a vine, and their instructions were to obey the law that God had given them through Moses. Their job was to be obedient. That was the job that God gave them. And as we know, reading the Old Testament, they failed over and over again. But when Jesus said here to his disciples that he is the true vine, what he's telling them is that what Israel was unable to do, he has accomplished. Jesus is the completion. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the obedience. He is the perfection. And when we are tied to the vine, we are perfected through Jesus. Jesus, by his perfect life and his death and his resurrection, has made us perfect in the sight of the Father. Jesus is our true source of life. When we are tied, we are perfected. Jesus then says in the second part of verse 2, and in verse 1 and into verse 2, he says, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. When we are tied to the vine, we are corrected by the Father. So on one occasion, while Nate was learning to drive, it was actually the first time Nate was on the road with his learner's permit. We were on the highway. And as we were driving along, you know, I was in the passenger seat, and I was pretty much seeing the white line come at me the whole time. So at one point in time, I said, Nate, are you on the road? And he said, yeah, I'm on the road. I said, good, because I'm not. See, prior to being 16, Nate had spent quite a bit of time driving tractor around the farm. And in a tractor, the operator's located in the center. So when he started driving a car, where, of course, you're located on the left, he needed to learn a new awareness of his surroundings, of his space. When we walk with Jesus, we need to learn a new way of living. Hmm. When we walk with Jesus, he helps us find our way back on the road. I can almost hear Jesus saying to me at times, Tony, you're heading in the right direction, but I need you to move to the left a little bit. I don't want you to hit those potholes that are going to cause damage. I don't want you to drive over the broken glass that's going to leave you stranded. And I really don't want you to get hit the mud and get pulled off the road completely. I want you to stay securely on this road that I've paved for you. This road called freedom. This road that leads to a life that's free from the shame and guilt of sin. That's right. This is the road where you can take the love I have for you and share it with others. Jesus desires that we live healthy, renewed lives that reflect him. The process of correction and discipline aren't fun, though. But it's done out of the Father's love. In Proverbs 3:11 and 12, it says, my son, Do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. The Father cuts away the parts in our lives that prevent us from growing in the new life that we have tied to Jesus. When we are tied to the vine, we are corrected. So he continues on then in verse 5, and he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Jesus says here that if we remain tied to the vine, we will bear much fruit. It's a promise. When we are tied to the vine, Jesus is reflected. Bearing fruit is both an inward transformation of our hearts and an outward expression of our faith. Bearing fruit is both an inward transformation of our hearts and an outward expression of our faith. He gives us life. He works away the parts in us that need to go. And as this happens, we start to look more and more like our Lord. Our lives naturally start to reflect the love of Jesus. When we are tied to the vine, Jesus is reflected. So far we've looked at three things of when we are tied to the vine, and I've tried to make them rhyme so that they can be remembered. It helps me to remember, but when we're tied to the vine, we are perfected, we are corrected, and Jesus is reflected. But now at this point in the teaching of Jesus, he shifts gears a little bit, and he starts to tell the disciples a little bit of how they can remain tied to the vine. In verses 7 and 8, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We are tied to the vine when we stay with Jesus. Jesus at this point had spent 3 years walking with and teaching his disciples. His disciples knew his words, and Jesus wanted those words to remain in us. Well, we became Naya's second family when she was about 15, just before she turned 16. So when I was teaching Naya to drive, that was really valuable time. We needed time to get to know each other, and me teaching her to drive and her learning how to drive was a great platform for this to happen. As we would drive around, we would have great conversations, and we were getting to know each other. She would ask amazing questions, and I would do my very best to try to answer them. Well, for Jesus' words to remain in us, we need to spend time with him and in his word. There are many ways to learn to know about Jesus, but if we really want to learn to know Jesus, it takes time. It takes time with him, takes time in his words, and for his words to remain in us, we need to spend that time. We need to ask Jesus questions and wait patiently while he answers them. Jesus, after these verses, makes a promise, though. He does say, so if the words remain in us, he says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. He actually had said this multiple times in chapter 14, just before this, and he actually went on to say it another time or two later in John. But he said that if we ask anything in his name, it will be given to us. He said this multiple times because he really wanted his disciples to understand this. He wanted them to know that when they're tied to him, they could confidently come to him and ask him anything in his name. He wasn't going to ask them to do it out of their own strength. Jesus wants us to call out to him. He wants us to ask for his provision, for his guidance, for his power, and for his protection, and he wants all of this to be for the glory of the Father. We are tied to the vine when we stay with Jesus. It continues on then. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. We are tied to the vine when we obey Jesus. Jesus here is comparing the Father's love for him with his love for us, and he makes a connection with his love for us and keeping his commands. Now, do you think here that he's saying that we need to obey him to be loved by him? 100% no. God's love is unconditional. God is love. But obeying his commands is how we experience God's love. And it's how we express our love for God. It is not how we earn his love. It's how we experience it. Obeying his commands is the path for being found in the center of the love that God already has for us. And he says this after this. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus wants us to live joy-filled lives found securely in the center of his love. We remain tied to Jesus because he loves us, not so that he will love us. Well, one day when Nia was driving home from school, Rebecca was with her this time. She asked Becky a completely sincere and honest question. She said, do we always have to stop at this stop sign? Becky said, yes, it's a stop sign. And she said, well, that's what I thought, but I noticed that Tony doesn't always stop at the stop sign. Kids have a way of calling out the truth.
That's funny.
She had been with me multiple times when I had been driving and not come to a complete stop at the stop sign. And doing by not obeying the sign, I was, you know, putting myself and her outside of the protection that comes from obeying the law. Well, sometimes we find ourselves not living fully obedient to Christ. When this is the case, God's love for us remains. But we may not be able to experience the fullness of the joy that Jesus names in these verses. He said, I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He wants us to experience his full joy. We are tied to the vine when we obey. Now in the last verse, verse 12, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. We are tied to the vine when we convey Jesus' love. We are tied to Jesus when we love each other the way that he has loved us. When Anna was driving Rebecca and I, she was actually going to take her driver's test. And so we were driving on Route 30 down to Oak Road where the driver's center is located. It was a snowy morning. And when she turned onto Oak Road, the back end of the car broke free, putting us into a slide. Well, instinctively, Anna turned into the slide and drove out of it as we kind of drifted into the driver's center to take her test. I was a bit stunned, and I was definitely impressed. And I said, where did you learn to do that? Because that is not something that I had actually taught her to do. She said, my brothers, Pete and Nate, taught me. Mm. Of course, they taught her how to drift a car. But you know, the reality is that what I wasn't able to teach, somebody else was. We need each other. And Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that we needed the help and support and love of others. And Jesus wants us to take that same unconditional love that he's given us and share it with each other and with the world. In Christ, we can be the spiritual fathers and mothers, the spiritual brothers and sisters, the spiritual friends and mentors. We can show the love that he has for us to others. We were never intended to walk this walk alone. We need to be willing to provide for, to correct, to protect, to listen to, and to love each other the way that God has loved Jesus. God the Father has loved Jesus in the way Jesus has loved us. We are tied to the vine when we convey Jesus. Now, Jesus gave this picture, this perfect picture of love relationships to the disciples. And this was just hours before Jesus was arrested, tortured, tried, and crucified. The disciples had no idea what was about to come, and they had no idea the price that Jesus was willing to pay so that they could remain tied to his love. We are tied to the vine when we stay with Jesus, when we obey Jesus, and when we convey Jesus. Jesus wants us to be tied to him, the true vine, the true source of life. And when we are tied to the vine, we are tied to each other in love. He had chosen his disciples to take this message to the world, and he was giving them everything they needed right before he was ready to leave the earth as they had known it up to this point. In the same way, he's chosen each one of us. He's chosen me, he's chosen us, he's chosen you to take this message to the world. Now, if you find yourself here this morning not being connected, feeling disconnected from God, because we all end up at that place sometimes in our lives, or if you've never been connected or tied to the vine at all, I would love to talk to you more about this after the service. There's going to be a prayer team up here afterwards. Please connect with us. God's love is there for you, and he'd love for you to be connected with him and with each of us to be found in the center of his love. So my question that I want to leave us with here today is, how am I, how are we, how are you going to be tied to the vine so that this message of hope and love can grow and go? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your words, Lord. We thank you for your teaching. We thank you for the love that you have for us and for the paths that you provide for us to be connected to you, to remain in you, to be tied to your love and tied to each other. And Lord, we just ask that you help us to be faithful in walking in that and living that out. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.